Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
Well, it's very wet outside here in Newport at the moment, but we're hoping the sun is just trying to peep through. But the sun has come through to the studio because we've got Caroline Gurney Champion with us at the moment. And we're terrifically excited, Caroline, about this wonderful new book that you're bringing out. And I understand it's coming out tomorrow. It's called Namet. Tell us all about it, please.
It's been a project that's taken nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
To complete.
Yes.
Started off 2 years ago in May when Peter Harrigan, the publisher,
yeah,
had supper with Nigel.
Yes, Nigel, who's the chief executive of the hospice.
Yes, the hospice. And Nigel mentioned that the following year it was the 35th anniversary of the hospice.
Yeah.
And shouldn't they get some sort of book together to celebrate the occasion?
Yes.
And it kind of went from there.
And I've got this book in front of me, and I have to say it's beautifully, beautifully produced, and it's full of photographs of island food producers.
Yes.
Now, we do have some superb food on the Isle of Wight. In some ways, I think we also ought to feature this on the Visit Isle of Wight show, because we have wonderful produce, from tomatoes to garlic to really amazingly fresh seafood. It's all been featured on television, for example, with the hairy bikers coming along to Bembridge, for example. What gave you, was it you that had the idea of a book about food, or was it Peter who had the idea, or Nigel?
It was probably a mixture of all of us.
Right.
Because when the hospice had its 10th anniversary, a book was done which was all full of recipes, but it was kind of country houses.
Right,
so
got you.
Whoever owned some marvellous property could put in a recipe, but we felt it was so old-fashioned and out of date. Even it was good at it in its time, because it was sort of in the 80s.
Yes. Sort of, yes. But it's a bit like Mrs. Beaton now.
Yes, but we've moved on from there.
Now, how did you get involved?
Peter Harrigan, the publisher, approached me saying, would I be interested?
Right.
Well, he chose the right person.
He chose the right person.
Absolutely the right person.
You've done absolutely.
And I did. And it's been such
amazing
fun.
Job
it's been
here.
Really good fun.
Well, listen, stick with us, because in a few minutes I'd just like to go through what is in the book, how people can get hold of it, and what a great job it does to raise money for the hospice. But we'll be back after some Sophie B. Hawkins. Sophie B. Hawkins there. You're listening to The Hospice Show here on Vectis Radio 104.6 FM. And we're talking to Caroline Gurney Champion here in the studio with us at the moment about this wonderful book that's coming out tomorrow called Namet, which is not only featuring some of the island's most beautiful food and most wonderful producers, but is raising a lot of money for the hospice. Now, the pictures in this book, Caroline, are simply stunning. Was there just one person who took all these pictures of producers, or was it a team effort?
It was a team effort. It's Julian Winslow who's done all the photographs of the producers.
Yeah.
And also some of the landscapes are his as well.
Yes.
And then there's a chap called Cam Snudden.
Right.
Who did all the food photography, apart from one or two that we did later.
And the food photography is absolutely sensational. There are some beautiful cakes in here, and I'm not a cake man actually, but they make me want to eat them.
I thought so many of those photographs, they look like still life. They're just so artistic.
They are. It makes a lot of these producers look far lovelier than they are in real life, I have to say. Now, it's a bit of a coffee table book, isn't it? Make a wonderful present.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Either an Easter present, a Christmas present, or if somebody's birthday is coming up, it makes the Isle of Wight look absolutely fantastic. So where are you going to sell these?
They're going to be sold in some of the hospice shops.
Yeah.
There's a website so you can buy them online.
And we'll mention that later, yes.
And also, most of the producers have selling points, so they can sell them. So they'll be in all the farm shops.
Okay.
And that sort of thing.
It's hardback. It's £19.95. I know a significant proportion of that does go to support the hospice, which is wonderful. Hopefully, in the John Cheverton Centre as well, people will be able to get hold of it. I'm just so impressed with it that you're doing sort of two things at the same time. You're bringing tourists to the Isle of Wight with all this wonderful food stuff, and you're supporting the hospice. So well done with that. Stick with us, because I would like to talk to you a little bit about your background and how you actually got involved in the first place. So come back to that after a few advertisements, and then McArmon Butler.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
That was McArmon's Butler. And yes. And from McArmon's Butler to almond butter, which is, of course, is a key ingredient in some of the recipes contained in Namet. We're talking to Caroline about the book that you've edited. There are recipes in there as well as island producers. And I understand, Caroline, that these recipes have been tested out here on the Isle of Wight at the Isle of Wight College. Tell us about that.
We did all the food photography and testing the recipes up at the Isle of Wight College in their catering department. And about six students and their teacher came in over half term last year, this was.
Yes.
And we cooked all the recipes, tested them, and photographed them. Mm-hmm. 34 recipes in a day and a half.
Wow.
Which was absolutely amazing.
Well, everything looks stunning. I think the one thing we've just heard off air was that everybody who was involved in this book, you, the photographers,
the
proofwriters, everybody.
So there's about six or seven writers.
So everybody gave their time, completely free of charge, to enable the hospice to get more money out of the book.
Yes, they did.
Well, that is just superb. And it's so lovely to see a book that really celebrates young people on the Isle of Wight, because there's so many young people involved in food production here now, aren't there?
Yes, there are. That's what I found really inspiring, getting all these food producers together, because I'm used to the ones that have been here for 30 or 40 years, but it's always been a concern of mine as to, are the younger ones in their 30s and 40s coming to the island?
It's the sustainability question again. We keep hearing the word sustainability on the island.
And they are, and they're all very passionate and all work very hard, and it's excellent, very inspiring.
Because, I mean, you've known the island all your life. You were born here, and Judith and I first came to the island. Well, I've been coming here since I was five, but when we lived here for the first time about 25 years ago, it was a cultural desert. It was a culinary desert as well, and I always remember the Wimpy being my favourite place in Ryde. But there weren't many good places to go to. I mean, there was the cottage over at Shanklin, but just one or two,
and the CB Hotel.
Just one or few places dotted around. But now everyone is obsessed with, I suppose the French would say, terroir, aren't they? And doing wonderful homegrown products.
Yes,
it's so lovely to see this
resurgence,
and it also gives a great feeling of pride, I guess, on the island, doesn't it?
Yes, or it certainly should do.
Mm. Right.
Yes.
Well, we've got the website up here, and you don't have to buy them from Amazon. And in fact, I hope nobody from Amazon is listening, because if you do buy it from Amazon, not quite as much money goes to the Old Mountbatten Hospice. So you can buy it directly from namet-iw.com. And it's a beautiful website, and just go and have a look at it, because you'll see some lovely pictures. There's Robert Thompson getting himself down and dirty in the sea with a fish, and there's some lovely, lovely pictures of the recipes in there as well. Just a reminder, please, Caroline, where else can people buy the book?
They can buy it at some of the Old Mountbatten shops. They can buy it at all the farm shops on the island, and most of the producers that are in the book are selling it all round the island, and I'm hoping to get some into the shop at Motterston Manor.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't
it? Be good, because their bookshop's excellent.
It is. Yeah. It's a good National Trust bookshop, and this National Trust bookshop, and this really fits into that kind of category.
It does.
It would make a wonderful present for relatives for Christmas, but don't hold off till Christmas, because I'm sure they've got some birthdays before then. Here's some Earth, Wind and Fire. I promised we wouldn't let you out of the studio until we heard a little bit more of your background, Caroline, because it's absolutely fascinating. That was Earth, Wind and Fire, and In the Stone. And in the studio with us at the moment is Caroline Gurney-Champion. Thank you very much for coming in and telling us all about this wonderful book, Namut. Namut, of course, is the Isle of Wight name for a kind of simple lunch, almost like a ploughman's lunch, isn't it, Caroline?
Well, it's more a breakfast.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, you see,
more a breakfast taken out into the fields.
Right.
And it's bread and cheese.
Yes.
And a pint of beer.
Ah, very nice.
My mother insists on telling me a strong pint of tea.
Oh.
It was cold tea.
Cold tea, apparently. Well, I suppose in the old days, sort of cold tea, at least it would have been hot and that would have got rid of the bacteria. And, of course, everyone used to drink beer all the time, didn't they? Because it was the only sterile form of liquid that you could have. Because I had read that in Middle English, namut came from nuna meat or something like that, meat or noon food.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I had a quick look on Google this morning.
When I was a child and working on the farm, everyone took namut with them and had it at about 9:30 in the morning. So if you'd started work at 6:30, 7:30, you'd have your namut by 9:30.
Well, there's all this sort of to-ing and fro-ing between breakfast and lunch, isn't there? Because in Danish, for example, they call their lunch breakfast, don't they?
Yes.
I suppose it depends which time you get up. So as a child here on the Isle of Wight, you were on a farm, were you?
Well, my grandfather and uncle were farmers, yes.
And they actually did call that meal namut.
Yes, we called it namut.
Wow, that's fantastic. But, you know, after you grew up here on the island, you spent a bit of time in London, didn't you? And I understand you were in the advertising business. Tell us about that.
I was. I went to London at 17, vowing never to return.
Right.
which I did, of course, but eventually. But, yes, I had a lovely time in London. And started off in advertising and then moved to film production and ended up being a film producer filming commercials.
How exciting. Now, these commercials, you know, I always think of the 1970s as the sort of peak of advertising's influence. Is that correct?
Well, I think it was. It was also great fun, and also when you had the most money for budgets.
Yes.
So there was huge spend on...
I mean, there's so many advertisements from the 1970s that still stick in my mind after all those years. Well, you know, why was it in the 70s that all the great advertisements were done? Was it just that there was that amount of money and creative brains that could be put on it?
And creative brains and talent, yes.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure there still is now, but there's much more pressure on just delivering something that's going to sell. Rather, in the 70s, you could just have fun, really.
And it was kind of more of an art form then, wasn't
it? I suppose
it, do you think?
Coming up with an idea and then selling it, really, to the...
Usually the ones that you remember, you probably can't remember what the product was. But they were beautifully shot films.
Are there some you are particularly proud of that you did?
We had fun doing things like, the Andrex commercials.
Oh, with the puppies.
Carloads of puppies. A boot would open and another 10 would come out. Oh, dear.
And was that the first time the puppies had been used, or were they already going then?
Probably the first time they've been used.
Yeah, wow.
Yes.
They have stuck around. And in the evenings, was it like Mad Men? Would you be sort of cracking open the whiskey bottles and the champagne?
Oh, just like Mad Men. You'd be on the whiskey, probably at 10 o'clock in the morning. Which is another reason, I think, that everyone came up with very good ideas. Yeah. But that's another story.
So you then came back to the Isle of Wight after a time in the advertising industry, and now you've got this beautiful manor house, which is available for bed and breakfast. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. When we moved back to the Isle of Wight, when my eldest was 11.
Yes.
And then when the youngest was 3.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, well, I must now do something.
Yeah.
And thought it would be good to take advantage of where we lived. And
yeah.
It meant I could still be at home. So started off with bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of gathered pace and doing up a couple of barns as
yes.
well for self-catering cottages.
Yeah. And where you are at the moment, the history goes back over 1,000 years, doesn't it?
I think it does, because the part of the house that the people stay in for bed and breakfast is described in a will of 1305.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
That's amazing.
And it seems that it's a pretty accurate description, actually.
So how did Peter Harrigan track you down? Because obviously you've got these sort of copywriting skills and advertising skills. How did he know you were the right person to edit Namet?
I've known Peter a very long time.
Yeah.
Because he was the press officer for the original pop festivals.
Ah!
In 68, 69,
oh, it's all wheels
and 70.
On wheels on the island, isn't it?
So that's
so
long time ago.
Ah, fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. We love your book, and just to remind people at home, if they want to get hold of a copy, it's going to be available in some of the Earl Mountbatten shops. We hope it's going to be in Waterstones. In fact, you'll see it all over the island, but one of the ways you can get hold of it quite quickly is to go to the website namet-iw.com, and a load of money is going to be raised for the hospice this way. So well done. Thank you very much indeed, Caroline, for coming in, and look forward to hearing all about the success of Namet over the next year.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
What about us? Pink, what about us? What about us? Well, I'm nipping off, so it's time to get this party ended. What about us? What about? And just before I do, we are going to give you a few tips for the next couple of weeks, because there are still some events you can go to at the hospice just after Easter, after all the Easter festivities have finished. And there's a really, really lovely one coming up on Thursday the 5th of April called That Jazz. As you know, we're very keen on the musical events at the John Cheverton Centre. That's going to be at 7:30 on Thursday the 5th of April. Tickets are £10 for a wonderful interpretation, I suppose, of the likes of Allington, Basie and more contemporary composers. That's £10, and that includes canapés and wine. It's very important to point that out. Tina Groves is the person to call on 217-311. On Sunday the 8th of April, there's going to be a memorial ploughing match with most of the proceeds going to the hospice. That's over at New Wolverton Farm at Shorrell, and that's from 9:30 to 4:30. There'll be lots of heavy horses ploughing alongside vintage and conventional tractors. You can find out more about that at www.memorialploughingmatch.co.uk. And if ballet is your thing, there is a wonderful young ballet master, I suppose, and soloist with the Stuttgart Ballet, Robert Robinson, who has now his own company, Ballet Works. We've seen him perform a number of occasions on the Isle of Wight, specifically for the Earl Mountbatten Hospital. And he's been travelling around the world through North and South America on a bit of a sabbatical, learning new dancers. And he's coming to talk about that and to show those new dancers at the hospice tomorrow night. That's Thursday, the 29th of March. That's going to be in the John Cheverton Centre from 7 o'clock onwards. If you're in the least bit interested in modern dance, do show up, because Ballyworks is a great team and Robert Robinson is an amazing dancer, and he has spent so much time helping out the hospice after his nan died there. So thank you very much for that, Robert, and we will be back with another hospice show in just 2 weeks' time. Judith and I will be back after the news.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.